This morning, what a good God we serve. Let's stand up and sing a praise to Him this morning. It says, I feel like traveling on page 133. Let's sing this one together. 133, here we go.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. It's glittering tires, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling. Well, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
You may be seated. Come on up, choir.
Just super. 18.
I don't want to get adjusted.
This is actual choir practice, look like. Pretty good, I'll have to say.
I love to do things like that. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. We've got a few new little faces in our congregation today, and we'll make it that known in just a little bit. I guess Pam will fill out a card for her little gal, won't you, Pam? And I tell you, that little rotten gal right back there on the corner's already got her friend filling one out. She told me that she wasn't always good, but it was because of her friend. You know, you got to watch out who you run around with, right? Yeah, so if you would, please fill out a visitor's card, and we'll welcome you to the church here in just a few minutes. We do have some things going on now in October and November. Chris wants me to remind you that the 9th, which is a Sunday, am I correct? The 9th, we're going up to the park. That's our fall, our last fall thing before the cold weather hits, is we're going up to Rotary Park, and we want every one of you to go. We're going to have lots of fun and food and fellowship. That's Christians' three F's, you know, fun, food, and fellowship, or it should be food, food, and food. One of my preacher brothers said that's why they call Free Will Baptists, it's Free Meal Baptists. So you get a free meal, come on in and let's eat and have a good time. Pam has some things going for Halloween for the kids and for our neighbors. It's actually a communication kind of thing for our neighbors. We'll be having a large sign up here out here this week. We have the signs in. I showed them to the ones who were here on Wednesday night, and they're very attractive. And we'll have one on the White House, and we'll also have one down in the yard area so that people driving up and down Oakland will be able to see it. And maybe some of our neighbors will come in and bring their children. We love children, don't we? Say yes, we do. If you don't love children, you need to get right with the Lord. Yeah. Okay, if you've had time to fill that card out, and we'll ask our ushers to come forward and we'll receive our morning offering. We have quite a few prayer requests this morning in the prayer room. No need to go back over all of them. Just in your mind and thoughts going to God, just remind Him that we would like to give Him glory for all the answered prayers that we ask for. Alan Mango, that's another one. Anybody else have a prayer request? We'll take it right now. Okay, let's pray. Henry, would you do that? Amen. Our duet was just about late. We have a refreshing item for you today. We have a new duet is going to be singing a song. But we also have Maddie, M-A-D-D-I-E, Maddie Pruas. Did I say it right? Is it kind of Pru? Yeah, Pruas. Oh, just Pruce. I was adding other letters. Just wanted to show you how smart I was, and it wasn't even necessary. Okay, Maddie, we're so glad to have you, honey. We are. We hope you'll come back. And Pam's going to introduce her new friend, Lorelei. I'm striking out all the way around. Okay. Lorelei, I'm sorry, honey. My name's Danieli. Lorelei Williams is with us today, and she's going to be sharing a song with y'all. Did we get her a mic?
We're going to share.
We're going to share. Okay.
Okay. What number is number one? Okay. How do I turn this thing on? I'll never get the right one. This is Lorelei. This is my granddaughter from Greenville. And no, you got to stand up. So, okay. You have to help bring me up. But she and I have been practicing two songs. They're short, so, okay. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Okay, ready? One more. Remember? Put a finger up.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan.
You gonna blow it out? Ain't gonna let him blow it out, are we? I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You remember the last one? Let it shine all over the earth. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna shine all over the world. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Let it shine.
See, I might not have them all the time, but when I've got them, they get it. Oh, you want? We gotta go sit down now. You want to sing another one? What do you want to sing?
Let it go.
That's Elsa, honey. We're not doing that here. She wanted to do let it go.
What is it?
Let it go, Elsa.
I'd love to hear her sing it. Lorelai, thank you, honey. That was really good. Now we've got to get her back, right? We don't care. Well, that was refreshing, wasn't it? It was. Okay, the children's church young'uns are leaving the building. Everybody take a deep breath. Okay. Now you're fixed for the long haul, right? Yeah. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. And we'll begin with verse 12 and read down through verse 17. Just to tell you where this comes in, if you go back to chapter 3, you'll go back to some scripture that is very familiar to you, and that is when John the Baptist came as the forerunner of Christ and how he was ushering in the Lord's ministry. His message was, John the Baptist was, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Now, his message was, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Y'all remember that message, don't you? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, in chapter 4, in verse 12, it goes like this. And when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Now, he had just gone through the temptation. Satan was tempting him. By the way, the Spirit took Jesus there to be tempted. It wasn't that Satan just saw an open door and decided that was the day he was going to tempt the Lord. This was pre-planned. The Spirit of God planned this and got him in there to where he could be tempted by the devil, and he was still sinless at the end of this whole thing. Well, in verse 12, it says, and when Jesus had heard that that John was cast into prison, you know, if you live close to the Lord, there's going to be some things that will happen to you that you won't like. I'm sure John did not want to go to prison, but that's okay. For the reason he went, it's quite all right to go. But when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, the next verse is the message. All that other just leads into verse 17, where he says, from that time, and it's not necessary that we know a whole lot about that time. It was just at that time Jesus began to preach. I remember when I began to preach. Gene probably remembers when he began to preach. Any preacher remembers the time they began to preach. I'll never forget the time I went over to Bristol to preach for Brother O.P. Stokes. I was all fired up, and I could just see myself preaching for half an hour or 45 minutes, you know, just burning the wind up. Just, boy, I was going to be a Billy Graham on high-octane fuel. I was all fired up. I went in that pulpit and preached 10 minutes, and I didn't have anything else to say. I guess Brother Stokes saw my dilemma, and he came up and gave the invitation. So, you know, God takes care of his own. But you have to begin somewhere, right? And that's where I began. Well, I'm sure it wasn't the same way with Jesus. I wasn't making myself parallel to Jesus' ministry. I was just letting you know that we all have a starting point. And the starting point is some of you probably would like me to go back and start again. Uh-huh. I hear you got the 10-minute deal, didn't you? But from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, and here was the message of Jesus, his first message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I read that in three parts because it is in three parts. The message was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the time. We thank you for the time to give the message. And Lord, I pray that every one of us here today receives this message in the way that you wanted us to, from Matthew chapter 4. And God, we thank you for everyone who's here today. If there's anyone in this building who is not saved, who has not been born again, who does not have a relationship with God the Father in heaven through your precious Son, I pray that today will be the day you speak to them. And we're going to praise you for everything you do. Everything. In Jesus' name. Amen. From that time began Jesus to preach. Repent ye. His first message is repent. He preached a lot of other messages after this, but all of his messages either started with repent or had repent in the message, the idea of repenting, because it is furthermost for every man to know that repentance is the only way we're going to have a relationship with him here on this earth, and the only way that we're going to be with him forever in glory. It is the only way. So, when he says repent, you must repent. And everybody who hears this message must repent. We all have the need to repent. Now, I know that when I say that, in your mind, because I know how our minds are, in your mind, you're thinking of the things you need to repent of, the things you didn't do right, the things you did wrong. You'd say, well, those are the same. And they probably are, but I wanted to say them both ways so we'd be sure and get it. All the things in our lives that we've done wrong, all the things in our life that we didn't do right, it all comes up and it almost overwhelms us to think that we've got to repent of all these things. Because we know that repentance means we turn around and we don't do it again, right? But how many of us have repented of something and turned around and did the same thing again? You don't have to raise your hand, because I got a feeling that about every hand in here would be raised. I'm not the youngest chicken in the coop. Right? So I know that. I know that. But that's not what this message is about. This message is not about you repenting of the things you have done. And I'll point that out to you. And by the time we get through, you're going to see that it may include those things, but it's not. That's not what it's about. It is a divine message from God Himself to men everywhere. Nobody is exempt from repenting. No one. The message of all the prophets, and the ones that we've been studying on Wednesday night, the message of all the prophets was to repent. Remember? Every one of them, they're preaching repentance, repentance, repentance. The psalmist even, the songs are filled with repent, repent, repent. When preachers preach, we preach with repentance, repentance, repentance. It's necessary that we do. When the forerunner here in chapter 3, when the forerunner of Jesus came, he came preaching what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Their message was identical, by the way. Isn't it neat that the forerunner of Jesus, his message would be the same as Jesus when he came to start his ministry? Jesus sent out 12 disciples to preach. Their message was repent. Are we getting the idea yet? Repent. Then came the era of Pentecost. Remember that? And new light. This was a new order in the life, and everything was new and fresh. And the first message that was preached by Peter during that was repent. It never changes. Paul preached to the Gentiles. What did he preach? He preached repent, because that's what it was all about. We come along down in our era of time. Martin Luther came preaching. He preached repent. His messages were filled with repentance. When Dwight L. Moody came to preach, he preached repentance. When John Wesley came to preach, he preached repentance. When Dan Foster came to Liberty Fellowship Church 30-some years ago, I began preaching repentance. And I've been preaching repentance for 30-some years. And it's not going to change. It can't, because it is the message. We always want to be restored. We always want to be renewed. We always want to be regenerated. We want all these things in our spiritual life. But we're not going to get any of those things without repentance. Because without repentance, there is no restoration. Without repentance, there is no renewal. It doesn't come just out of the air. Something has to happen in our lives before those things happen. So it's a message to the individual. If you're an individual, hold your hand up just a minute. Everybody, I'm seeing my young boys back there not holding their hand up. They don't mind very well. My dog does better than that. If you're an individual, raise your hand. Okay, now we're on board. Okay. Now, if you're part of society, raise your hand. Yeah, we are. If you're a breathing individual, and you're amongst the living here, you know, you're part of society. Now, I know that there is a bad part of society, but there's also a good part of society. But we're not getting into that. What we're saying is that we're part of society. For every individual who's here today, this message is for you. For all society, every phase of this living that we do down here, everything you could think of, this message is for that. For our nations, and we pray for our nation all the time, we know that our nation needs help. Our nation is not going to be restored. Our nation is not going to be renewed. Our nation is not going to have anything that's going to help us until we learn that we've got to repent. We have done God terribly. We need to repent. But not going to tell you need to repent because you have done some things that haven't helped your country. What I am going to tell you, though, is you need to repent. We all need to repent. Now you say, well, then what's the message then? Well, then that's where we get into the text and we dig it out. And we're going to dig it out now. If you'll dig it out with me, okay? I promise you I won't keep you too long if you'll dig it out with me. But you got to stay with this message, okay? Stick with it, because here we go. In this message, at the very first part of it, when he says, repent ye, he is saying to you, there is a need. There is a need for repentance. Now, if you can sit in your seat and say, I never needed repentance, I don't need repentance, never will need repentance, just hang on, okay? Keep that point in your mind right now, and I promise you, I've got an eraser here big enough to erase that. I do. You can come out on the winning end. So when he said, repent ye, he was declaring to everybody that there was a need. Forget for the moment, if you will, what you have heard about repentance, what you feel about repentance, what you have read, feel, or heard, whatever that is about repentance. I want you, if you will, to kind of push that to the side. I'm not saying the messages you've heard over the years about repentance is not right. Not saying that they're all wrong. I just don't want you to be in that groove, because that's not the groove that Jesus was when he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That wasn't where he was. And I'm going to show you what he means by that. Now, after 30 years of preparing to preach, and that's what he was doing. He was going to deliver this first message, and this was the first message he preached. But this was with 30 years of preparing, 30 years of observing people. And I know that doesn't go the same for us. I've observed people for a lot of years, but it doesn't make me a master at figuring people out. I just observe and I pick up things that'll help me understand some things. But Jesus observed people for 30 years. He prepared for his ministry, and his ministry was a ministry of repent. Hey, like that. For 30 years, he prepared to preach repent. You see, how long did it take to do that? Well, he was there 30 years. You see, all these people that he observed coming through his area, they were of different natures, just like we are. They were all like Hebrew priests. That's the religious ones who came through. He observed those Hebrew priests. He didn't just see them walk by and see how they walked. He knew what was in them when they walked by. Now, we don't have that power. But he did. When he saw the religious ones move by, he saw what was in them, and he would still say, repent. When the Roman soldiers would walk by, and there were many of them, when they would walk by, he would see what was in them, and the message was, repent. When the Greek merchants would walk by, he would see what was in them, and he would preach, repent, because it was for everybody who came through. Now, the reason he could do this, because he was God. That's the reason he could say, I don't care who you are and what you are, you need to repent. And I'm not telling you this morning from me that you need to repent. I'm telling you that's what God is saying, that we need to repent. Repentance is necessary. He would say, before Abraham was, I am. That's the reason he could look at man, see what's in you, know you better than you know you. But folks, I got to admit, we know enough about ourselves to know that there's some repenting needs to go on. Do we? We do. Now, don't get all in a tizzy about that, because I'm going to give you some good stuff here. We all know where we are. So he didn't need to ask anybody that walked by him what's your viewpoints. He knew what was their viewpoints. If you want to ask somebody what their viewpoints are, go ahead. All you're going to get is their viewpoints. Okay? Everybody's got a viewpoint, and if you're trying to find out, I have people call me all the time because they see my number on our literature, and it's mainly preachers from other denominations who want to know what we believe, and they think I'm an idiot that I don't know when they start the conversation, what do you all believe, that they're trying to pull me into something where we can argue the scriptures. I will not argue the scriptures with any man. These are not my scriptures. This is God's word, and if you want to take it a different way, you go ahead. Okay? That's okay with me. I'm not going to get into an argument about it. But he didn't need to ask any man what was going on because he says, for he himself knew what was in man. He himself knew what was in man. So he preached, repent. Now, if that was his message, we got to know what it means to repent. And I have all these years come up with different definitions that means repent. I know that sorrow, the repentance takes in sorrow. I know that. I'm sorry. You know, we call that repentance sometimes when we say, I'm sorry. We've said it to individuals before. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And it sounds like a repentance to me that we're so sorry. But repentance doesn't start with sorry, because then that would mean that something you did made you feel bad and you now need to get it out of the way. So you're going to be sorry, and God's going to recognize that you're sorry, and he's going to pull it out and just get rid of it. No, that's not the way this goes. It doesn't start with sorry. It starts with repent. Now, the true definition of repent is to change the mind. And I know we've said to make a U-turn and go back the other way is repentance. You can do that if you want to. If changing your mind looks like that to you, go ahead and say that. Because what it does mean, it means to change the mind. You say, well, that's easy. I do that every day. And we do, don't we? I've changed my mind many times. I'll say, I'm going to get a pizza, and I bring back hamburgers. I changed my mind. You know, if I decide I'm going to do something and I do something else, I've changed my mind. So not a whole lot of thought can be put into changing the mind unless we go farther with the message. So what he's got here, see, I've been sorry for a lot of things. I'm sorry that Pam is in my life at this church. I'm sorry. No, she's my helper. I've been sorry for a lot of things, and so have you. Sorry for your sin won't change your mind. That's what I'm trying to get around to saying to you. Sorry for your sin won't change your mind. But I can tell you this, that if you change your mind, it'll cause you to be sorry for your sin. I didn't say the same thing. That's a whole different thing. So if you're going to repent, don't make it like you're sorry and then everything leads from there. That's not where it goes from. It goes from repentance, then it will lead to being sorry for our sin. A change of conduct will not change the mind. You can quit things that you've been doing. It's not going to change the mind. At all. You may say, well, I'm going to quit. Well, you go ahead and quit that thing you're doing, but it's not going to change the mind. Whatever your conduct is, if it's misconduct, that's where it is. And you have to deal with it from right there. So Jesus wasn't starting a society here to change the conduct of man. That wasn't what repent was. It wasn't about changing the conduct. Never has been. Will the conduct be changed? Yeah, when the heart's changed. You see, the heart's not changed until the mind's changed. Come on now. We got to deal with it. You know, when you sin, you have the thought first. Amen? We think it, then we do it. That's where the wrong comes from. The mind has to be changed, but it has to be changed in a specific direction, and I'm going to take you in that direction. Because if I change my mind to go a different route somewhere in my car, and that's not necessarily the right route, you know, I've just changed my mind to go that way because I feel like it's better. Does that mean it's a better route because I changed my mind to go that way? Probably not. I probably gave it a lot of thought, you know, and thought, well, it might be a few miles shorter. It's a more scenic road, you know, and I might want to do that. But that doesn't mean that because I change my mind and go in a different direction, that it's the right direction. I've gone many times. Me and John, I'm sure, have done that riding bikes up in the mountains. We might take a road that we think is more scenic and get up in there and run into a dead end in the middle of a mountain somewhere because you went the wrong way. We don't use GPS. We just use GPS or John GPS. And it takes you where there's all kinds of chug holes, and then you run into gravel instead of pavement. And I'm just trying to tell you that if we change our mind, doesn't mean that it's right. Okay? If you're going to change your mind, make sure it goes in the right direction, and he's going to lead us in the right direction. So he wasn't trying to start repent because he wants to change our conduct. That's not why he started the message of repent ye. Your mind. He would say change your mind. It's important that we change our mind. Repent. Right down into the very core of who you are and what God wants you to be. Change your mind because your conduct and character is wrong. Amen? If we see it's wrong, we got to change our mind. Don't try changing the conduct. That's not going to be repentance. Change your mind first. Then we'll get these other things out of the way. Because, folks, let's just face it, we've been wrong a lot. But when we change our mind, it's got to be changed in the right direction. Now, since we know there is a need for repentance, and we all agree, I'm listening to you groan and moan and speak out a little bit. Yes, yes, we know that. And we all know that, right? We do. We know there's a need for it. Okay, if there's a need for it, where is the direction for your repentance going? If we know we need to repent, what direction are you going in? Well, he just tells us right after he said, repent ye, the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, now where in the world is that? Is that off 81 or 26? Where is the kingdom of heaven? Well, I'm glad you ask, because that's exactly where he's given us direction to go in when we change our mind. Change your mind and go in the direction of the kingdom of heaven. To change the mind has to lead in the right direction, or you're going to be just in the wrong direction another way. That's all. You can get information from all sorts of denominations, from book readers, TV watchers, all sorts of people get all kinds of ideas, and after a while, if you listen to everybody, you can be filled up with all sorts of misdirection. But the Lord says, here's the direction you go. The kingdom of heaven is the heavenly order. The heavenly order established here on earth, and it's in connection with the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ for mankind here on the earth. And you say, well, that sounds like a little world all of its own. Oh, it is. It is. That's why he said that's the direction you've got to go with your repentance. You've got to repent toward that heavenly order that God established for us to get into. Don't repent of the sins that you've got lined up there to get rid of one at a time. We repent toward the kingdom of heaven. Right direction. You say, how do you know? Well, I'm going to show you. The Word of God knows. Right? And I'm giving you the Word of God. So that redemptive work that Jesus did at Calvary, That's where it has to go. And I'm not saying to you, take your mind to Golgotha and visualize that cross up there with Jesus hanging on it. And I know sometimes when we say go to Calvary, we get this visual picture. I don't want you to do that at all. I want you to go with Jesus Christ into the kingdom of heaven. You see, because without a king, there is no kingdom. So you're not just going into the abyss somewhere or into an unrelated area of man's life. He's given us a related area, and that related area is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is what God has sent down for us to get into. Now you say, well, how do you get into that? I'm telling you how to get into it. We repent. Not going to get there without it, and you're not going to understand it without it. We have all sorts of ideas and everything about repentance, but we're not going to get there without true repentance. Those who change or repent and go in the direction of the kingdom of heaven become what you are now if you are saved. Just made the complete circle. If you say, I'm saved, I've been born again. Can you say that? Can you say I'm saved? Say I'm saved. We got to get out of this timid way. We got to say I'm saved. And I know I am, right? I've been born again. I know I am. There's no doubt about that. And we've got to get out of this timid way of shirking our responsibility to tell this world. This world needs to be saved. This world needs to be born again. The way to do that is to what? Repent. You don't get there without repentance. But you can get there with repentance. Born again, saved, yeah, we are. To change your mind is to accept, and this is where a lot of people go part way with the Lord. To change your mind is to accept the authority of God over your life. That means you no longer are in charge. Now, that's hard to swallow, isn't it? For someone who's been trying to hang on to their life all of their life. You can't hang on to it. You can't have both. You can't have both. You can't hang on to your life and take the one he's got for you. You can't live two lives. I know there used to be a TV show one time about two lives. Do y'all remember that? Some of you older people. I lived two lives or something like that. I'll Google it for you. Okay. I knew y'all, you older people, wouldn't remember that. I'm too old. Tom come up with the days of our lives. No, it's I led three lives. The Lord gave it to me. Do you remember that now? Okay. Woo! Okay, to change your mind is to accept the authority of God over you as an individual. To accept the authority of God over your social life. Did you get that? Because you can't change individual lives without changing social lives. So if your life is not right in the social realm, if your individual self is not right, I got news for you. You need to repent. And when we repent, we've got to give God the authority to take control of our individual lives, our social lives. And you can tell all the politicians I said this, all of them need to repent. Every one of them. You say, well, we got some good ones. We got some good ones that need to repent. We got some bad ones that need to repent. But we got some good ones that need to repent too. Amen? That's the political realm that we're talking about. So you change your mind about God. That's what you change your mind about. You don't change your mind about the sin. You change your mind as to where you're going to allow God to be in your life. And he has to have total control over you as an individual and your social life. So change your mind about God, then you'll change your mind toward God. Change your mind about God, then you'll change your mind toward God. When we wake up every morning, that we would just say, Lord, teach me. Teach me to know your will today. I want your will in my life today. I want your will in my social life today. I want your will over our country. I want our country right. But folks, our country's not going to get right until we get right. Because we are the country. Now, after we went here, we see our conceptions will change. Have you ever been asked what your conception of something is? And you say, yeah, this is how I conceive this to be. My conception is this. After you have repented, turned around, changed your mind, your conception will be godly. Not going to be another answer for it. It's going to be godly. Your conception for this is going to be godly. Our conduct will be godly. Our character will be godly. Things change. Everything changes. You say, did he affirm this? After he said, repent ye for the kingdom of heaven, did he affirm that? He did. What did he say? He said, it's at hand. He said, it's at hand. Let's take a look at it and see what he said about that. You see, the possibility of him affirming this is very high because of the three words he said in the last part of that. When he said, is at hand. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water. But he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, I told you that not for you to get onto John the Baptist's side there for a moment. I told you that because I want you to hear what the Lord had to say immediately after that. Because when Jesus came in with his voice to speak, John the Baptist was a roaring, passionate evangelist. He was come in with fire and brimstone. And Jesus comes in and was heard as meek and low. But it was amazing that when he said repent, meek and low, it meant as much or more than it would have if he had been screaming it as John the Baptist. So it's not in how the word is delivered, it's how the word is believed. It's how the word is heard and believed. So when we hear the word repent, and we believe the word repent, and we change our minds, and we go in a different direction, things are going to begin changing. I promise you that's what's going to happen. Amen? Because he says, I'm at hand. I'm not somewhere else. This has to happen. It has to happen now because the kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom came when he came. He was the king, and he has the kingdom. It's at hand. Where the king is, there is the kingdom. So if you're going to be changing your mind, go toward the king. That's a good place for a good old Baptist. Amen. Well, we're going to turn to him. When we turn to him, that's repentance. When we believe on him, that is the moment that he opens the door and you pass into the kingdom. He's the one who opens the door, by the way. When you believe in him, you pass through the door. But then when you trust him, then's when you know he's there. Then's when you know you're there, that you're in the kingdom of heaven. You pass through. Why? Because you changed your mind. You have a different conception of God. You have a different conception of your conduct. You're not trying to say, well, my conduct's as good as anybody else's. You have a different conception of your character, because it's not about us being in competition with anybody else as to who's the best Christian. If you want to know who's the best Christian, just look up here. Now have your attention, don't I? No, we're not in competition as to who's the best Christian. We're in competition with the heavenly forces to get into the kingdom of heaven and be there the right way. Looking at Him the right way. It's all about Him. It's not about anything else in this whole world. I promise you. But at this point in time of this message, this is where I become helpless. I can't take what I have just relayed to you, and if I haven't relayed it to you in any kind of understandable way, I'm sorry. But I can't go any further than this. You see, because now you stand face to face with the God of heaven, who gave us the kingdom of heaven and who's given us eternal life. You stand face to face with Him, with His Son Jesus Christ, and I'm not in that picture. I'm out of it. If I could just push a lever and disappear down through this floor, that would be what I need to do right now. And you need to make me disappear, and everything that I said, you take in what you've done with that, and you face God face to face, and whatever you decide that you're going to do, do it. Okay? Repent. Change the mind in the right direction. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for repentance, because we know that that's where we need to get to have the relationship with You that's possible and good. Lord, I pray for change of mind in the right direction. We're going to praise You for everything You have done here this morning and everything You're going to do with what we have learned. May we take it and do something with it. And we're going to praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. If our conception of God is right, and our conception of our conduct is right, and our conception of our character is right, we can leave here lighter than when we came in. The heaviness that Satan wants to put on us. You see, right before this, Jesus had just spent a ton of time with Satan, and Satan was trying to bow Him down with certain things. He said, no, you get away from Me now. This is not what My Father sent Me to do. And when this whole world wants to bow you down with a whole lot of things, you say, no, My conception of God is right, because I have a changed mind. He's everything. He's everything. You know that old song. Let's sing it. Was shed for me, and that Thou bidst come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I believe when we've had a change of mind, that won't be a hard thing to say. It's, Lord, I'm coming. Here I am. And I am willing to let You control my individual life, my social life. And Lord, I want You to control this old nation of ours and get it right. You know what's really sad is that I heard this morning on some news program that they're trying to revive bomb bunkers now in America. Some of you don't remember this, but in the 60s, there was a scare, and people were building bunkers. I know where one was built just three blocks from here down on Fairview Avenue. Man had a bunker in his basement. He built it so he could survive what was going to happen, because we were scared into believing that something great was going to happen. I don't know if there's a big scare now. Maybe we've just been desensitized, and I'm not building a bunker. My Lord is my bunker. And if he wants to end this whole thing down here, I say end it, and let's go on home. I'm not going to build a bunker. Don't need one. But they're trying to get people to think about bunkers now. And what was really sad about it, they said they were showing the film of the old bunkers. Some of them, grass and weeds were growing up inside them, and roots and stuff, because it had been all these years since the 60s that nothing had ever happened, and the bunker had never been used. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for reminding us where we are and where we can be with you. And Lord, may our repentance always be toward the kingdom of heaven, and not about our sorrow for making somebody upset or hurting someone or something like that. Lord, we know you can take care of those things. We need to be sorry toward you. We need to change our mind toward you. And I pray that's what we do. We're going to praise you for everything you do, because you're good. God, you're good. So good. And we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.